Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, anxiety can have a devastating effect on an individual's mental health. What does one woman do when the very cause of her anxiety appears to be coming from the house that she lives in, making it impossible to never truly escape this feeling of foreboding and dread? We hear that story and more today on another intriguing episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Yes, it be. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, if you like the show, get all the extras. That's like the archive. It's the golden ticket of ghost stories. It's every single one that we've done in the course of nearly 10 years. All there. It's the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. Ghostpodcast.com is where you can get that, or through Patreon, patreon.com/realghoststories. All the bonus episodes, all the regular episodes, all of them commercial free. You can just binge and binge and binge. it's great. Anyway, check it out. Tony and Carol with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on in your world?
The golden ticket that made me laugh.
It is the golden ticket. It's like Willy Wonka.
Right before we started, I was scrolling through Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody posted on the Real Ghost Stories Online group page.
Yeah.
If you don't follow that, you should belong to the group. I think there's like 10,000 other people who listen to this podcast and just chat.
Yeah, there are.
But this is funny. And it just is like a little meme. It says, you know what would suck? If you died and you found out there were ghost jobs, like you had to work at the ghost post office.
That would suck.
Shit.
Yeah.
You'd have to work at the ghost post office or some shit. It was like, wait, I'm a ghost. I really have to pay bills?
It just turns out everything's the same.
Oh, what? I got to work at Taco Grande again? Are you
for eternity. Everything's the same, but then you are at that job forever.
I wonder, like, so in a course of a lifetime, like, which job do you go back to that you're stuck at forever? Like, your first one?
You know,
or the one that before the last one.
If income does not make a damn bit of difference, if it's just like you have to do the job, you know, I a lot of the lower paying jobs would have been some of the most fun
to do.
Like the younger, funner, you know, more laid back jobs. Those were more fun. Although I worked in radio since I was 14. So my like younger, funner jobs are like careers.
Like you never had the Taco Grande job or
no, I didn't, but
Taco
I love
blank because no. Every town has that taco.
But my first radio station was really fun and laid back and probably one of my favorite places. I would pick that.
So the funnest job?
Yeah. That's what you can if you're like and here's the setting for the sitcom. Everybody's dead. And you're entering in, you're finding out you got to go and do a job. But it's you get the job that you've always wanted. And they've already assigned it. They already got you all prepared. So you keep in line. And I was like, all right, I get to go do this. I get to go. And they get to you. And it's like, Taco Grande. Like, what?
Like, I know.
Like, what do you mean, Taco Grande? Then they flash to, like, some scene in life where you said to somebody, my favorite job ever was Taco Grande. It's like, no, it says it right here.
I was being sarcasm. Well, there's such a thing as sarcasm.
Well, and there's such a thing as being honest. Taco Grande it is, right over there.
How many tacos, bitches?
And it's the show is called Tacos in Hell. And you're in hell and you're serving tacos
and
to the
I'd
cast
like,
of Cop Rock.
I have people to haunt. Like, when do I fit the haunting in? I've got to work again because nobody's showing up. Because all the other Taco Grande people in hell don't want to go to work.
It's a situational comedy. It's kind of like Cheers, but it's set in a taco shop in hell.
Oh, shit. That means that I'll probably go back as the assistant manager because I was assistant manager at 17. But if you're assistant manager, that means that you have to do all of the shit. That's what assistant managers do.
This would be
the manager tells them. It's like, so the manager's not the one there till closing every night when people don't show up. It's like, that's what the assistant manager does.
Yes.
So I'll be filling in all the haunted shifts.
But you get that lovely title and all the responsibility without the pay. So it's like in radio, assistant program director.
And then I'll be like talking to my friends like as a ghost. And I'll be like, so what job did you get? And they're like, oh, my God, I'm the head writer on a really popular sitcom.
Yep.
Like, man, that's what I always wanted to do.
I'm filling burritos in hell.
Taco Grande. Do they still make that funny taco? Yes.
And then the very end of the trailer is the child from Exorcist, her head popping up going, your mom eats burritos in hell.
And I make him shut the F up.
Your mom shoves taquitos in her pussy in hell. Like, oh my God. Taco Grande.
They'll all be like, if only you had churros. We don't have churros.
God.
Go someplace else.
There we go. Somehow we
sorry. Got distracted.
Somehow we got there.
Because churros are always funny. Because we were just talking about that a while ago.
The conversation naturally went to the Exorcist on the child and the Exorcist. Doing inappropriate things with churros in hell. Okay.
Of course.
All right. Back to the conversation in just a second. You know those nights when you just don't sleep and the next day you're dragging, exhausted, and everything just feels harder? That's where CBD from CB Distillery can make a real difference. My goodness, I am telling you. It's not just sleep, though. CB Distillery has solutions that will work with your body to help with stress, pain after exercise, even mood and focus. And it's all made with the highest quality, clean ingredients. No fillers, just premium CBD. Imagine waking up rested or enjoying your day without those nagging aches and pains. That's the real win of CB Distillery Solutions. That's why over 2 million people trust CB Distillery. I have been using their products now for quite some time, and I absolutely love it, especially the sleep angle. My goodness. I was having so many nights where it was like, okay, I'm waking up here, not quite. Their products? Like, okay, this is lovely. I'll keep this in my bedstand for the rest of my life, please. So if you're ready for better sleep, less stress, and feeling good in your own skin again, try CBD from CB Distillery. And right now, you can save 25% on your entire purchase. Visit CB Distillery and use promo code GHOST. That's CBDistillery.com, promo code GHOST. CBDistillery.com. Specific product availability depends on individual state regulations. Now back to the conversation. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Yeah, I'm not drinking or anything. I'm having water this evening. So, good times. Hello, I called the other night and mentioned the use of sage and how it should be properly blessed before being used as it stems from indigenous cultures. I do apologize. if I sounded a bit out of breath, rushed, or even a bit rude. I have social anxiety and get pretty nervous, but I've hyped myself up to call in finally. Turns out, it's a lot harder than I thought it would be. Regardless, I come from a family where we're pretty sensitive to the paranormal. My mom claims you're part of a Wiccan line, but I believe that's mostly ancestral lineage and not something she nor my Nana had ever practiced. I'll say my mom's father was a part of an occult. I don't know much about it, only those multiple times he's apparently tried to sacrifice her and that she and Nana had come home to witness him after he had hung himself. It's a touchy topic for her, so I've never felt comfortable asking about it. Though she says because of him, our family, or mostly her alone, is cursed. Even so, I've witnessed paranormal sightings from a young age, possibly starting at 3 years old, but admittedly, my memory is a little fuzzy. There's one story that I'll write back to you about. My fear of trees started. I know it's a weird fear, but after what I've seen and the fact that it has followed me throughout my aging years, but it's not weird in the end, but that's not quite what I wanted to share today. Wanted to talk about a house I lived in for 13 years. I'm in South Carolina, and Carolina's Forest is said to have been buried on an ancient burial ground. Whether it's true or not, this house and multiple other, considering I've seen many neighbors come and go due to activity at the time, it's pretty active. I couldn't tell you when it exactly started, but I can say the bathroom in my parents' room was a place I wanted to avoid but couldn't. It was the bathroom everyone used to shower because my siblings were unfortunately pretty messy, which left the second bathroom pretty unusable. Every time I went to take a shower, always specifically a shower, there would be an image of a young girl with long black hair that would pop into my mind whenever I shut my eyes. I can only ever see ghosts if I close my eyes, otherwise they're just silhouettes to me. My mother and stepfather have felt the presence as well. The young girl wasn't very friendly feeling, and I had to shower with the curtain half closed or I'd be too paranoid. In fact, I avoided closing my eyes and washing my hair by tilting my head back on most days because she scared me so bad. I could tell she liked knives because she always held one. I'm unsure of how she died, just that she would stand stock still right by the tub whenever I showered. Whenever I got home from school and I was alone because both my parents worked and my younger sister was with her biological father, I wouldn't be able to relax without having to go sit outside. The energy of the house is very anxiety-inducing. It makes you uneasy. The friends who sleep over never came back to stay the night and even avoided doing so. Can't blame them, because even at night you could hear someone running up and down the stairs. I've seen shadows darting back and forth when turning the corner up the staircase into my parents' room. I've seen silhouettes standing in their closet because they've always kept it open. And it was a walk-in. When my younger brother was born, it was an old man who would lean over his crib and stare down at him while he slept until he woke up screaming and crying from night terrors. My name would be called when I was home alone. I've woken up to things standing over me despite my room being the safest in the house. Slept in the attic room, which is part of the house where the roof slanted and what I called it. I think the most notable experience I had in that house was when I came home from school. Sat down on the computer. Big, clunky Dell dial-up computers with a dusty tower hooked up to it. I had to do my homework sometimes on those. Sat down to start my schoolwork when I heard a voice. A lady asked, "Are you dead yet?" from the stairs. I stopped and looked over, but I was home alone and it only took me less than a minute to gather my things and leave the house. To sit in the driveway as I called my mother crying. She tried to tell me I misheard a child's toy saying, "Low battery," but I knew what I heard. Though it did come from a toy telephone. So much has happened that it's hard to remember everything, but I do have some notable stories from much more recent years. One ties into the fear of trees, and one comes from an old antique toy box passed down from my mother that Nana bought her. Thank you for listening to my stories. I'll come back with more. I enjoy your show a lot, and thank you so much. It's really fun to listen to because I work night shifts, and they're quite boring. What do you think of all that?
That was creepy. Like seriously, of all the things somebody could say, like hearing your name, that's creepy. Hearing, I don't know, anything is creepy. But then hearing somebody say, are you dead yet? Like, that's creepy.
I think it's all in the delivery on that. I mean, what?
Dead yet? Like that, I
guess. It really kind of depends. Would you rather hear the, are you dead yet? Or would you rather hear, like, you pick up the phone, like, hey, are you dead yet?
Are like, you dead yet?
Yeah. Are you dead yet? Because I think it'd even be more confusing if it's in a more peppy tone versus the scary, scary voice.
I get the feeling what he heard was scary voice. I don't think it probably. Was that. Are you dead yet?
Yeah, probably not.
I don't think it was that.
Yeah.
Like, that was creepy.
Well, and the shower thing, too. I mean, I think.
Well, it's creepy enough to see, you know.
Yeah.
But then he said it was weird because he said he would see it when he would close his eyes.
Yeah.
So then, not questioning his abilities because everybody's different. But when you close your eyes, then your imagination could take over a little bit.
Like, sure.
But then, you know, his or her abilities could be different.
Yeah.
Everybody's art. But to see something, some kind of vision like that, carrying a knife.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's creepy.
That's no Mariah Carey vision of love. That's for sure.
No.
And that's all that you've given to me. No, I don't think that that's. But I mean, who hasn't had in a moment like that, being in a shower and you think you're alone in your house or your apartment and like there's a noise or something, you know, uncommon happens outside and you're like, what the hell is that? And I mean, I had it like, I don't know, once or twice years ago. And I had like one of those showers. This was, I was alone in my apartment. And I remember I had one of those showers where it's a sliding door. And then the doors, you know, it's like the glasses, you know, kind of whatever, cloudy or whatnot. But it's in all different kind of weird shapes. And I remember I was in there and I swear to God, I saw like, you know, some movement out there. But from that, you're looking at like a pixelated mess. And I didn't have any pets at the time. And I remember like, what the hell was that? And I had this just feeling of dread. It was like, it wasn't a full on panic attack, but it was just like a, what the fuck? Because you're in the most vulnerable state possible in a corner with shower, right? With water running on you. Like, you have no weapon. What are you going to do? And I swear to God, I thought I was going to, you know, there's going to be somebody out there. So I just very kind of slightly, you know, slid the door without it making much noise and just sat there and watched and nothing. Nothing whatsoever. Could have just been my imagination. Could have been the water maybe, you know, casting a quick shadow. I don't know. The way the light caught it, I don't know. I never really think of it much as a paranormal experience. Just more so one of those, oh my God, my gut dropped experiences.
Yeah, if I was living in that situation that person was living in, my gut would be dropping all the time.
Yeah. Let's go to another caller, 855-853-4802, our phone number. Hi. Let's hear your ghost story.
Up.
What? Let's start over. Come on. Stand by. All right. Hi.
Hi, Tony. My name is Jody. I'm calling from Oregon. I've got a lot of things that have happened to me in my life in regards to the paranormal. However, I just want to share one story today. There are other stories that I will call in about at a future date, but I'd like to share what happened to me in my childhood home growing up, as I still don't know what to think of it. So to preface it, my first paranormal experience happened when I was about 5 or 6 years old. My little brother and I were playing in his bedroom, and we had made a kind of a tent fort out of an old suitcase we had opened up, and we put a blanket over it. And we were playing in it, having a good time. And all of a sudden, we heard his closet door open up. And I can't remember the noise. There was a strange noise with it, like almost like a whooshing noise. And all of a sudden, I saw a footprint come across the top of the blanket and push down on top of us, and the entire thing collapsed. We were pretty young at the time, so we didn't really know what to think of it. So we just ran into the living room and got our mother. But after that, we eventually moved into this house when I was about 9 years old, and I shared a bedroom with my sister. It was the upstairs of the house. It was basically the entire layout of the house, but it was just one big open room up there. And within a year, some pretty weird things started to happen. We would hear knocking noises at first, or, well, I guess I should say I heard them. I don't know if anyone else did. Just weird ticks in the night. And then one night, I think I was in about the fifth grade, and I went upstairs to go to bed, and I left the light on above the stairs because my sister would be coming in about a half an hour after I would for her bedtime. So I left it on because I didn't want her to wake me up. And so I'm laying in my bed, and I had one of those bed tents on top of my bed. And I was just laying in bed, my eyes were open, and I couldn't really fall asleep. And I was looking towards the light, and all of a sudden, I saw a silhouette of a man's profile step in front of it. And I looked at it, and I thought, well, that's weird. I must have looked at the light a little too hard. That doesn't make sense. So I peeked out from under my bed tent, and there was nothing there, of course. And I put it back down, I looked back up, and it was still there. So I thought to myself, there has to be a logical explanation. There's nothing there. So I looked again, and there was still nothing there. And I put the big tent at the tent back down, and it was still there. So I started screaming for my mother, like bloody murder. So my mom came running up the stairs, and I was hysterical, and I told her what happened. She calmed me down, and I don't really remember what happened after that. I think it was my sister's bedtime, and we just went to bed. So that was the first major thing that happened in the house. And all around, right around the same time, a few other things happened. Another time, my brother and I were home alone, and it must have been summertime. My parents were gone doing something for the day, and my sister wasn't there. I think she was with them. So my brother and I were home alone. We were just playing with the dog in the living room. And all of a sudden, we heard heavy footsteps walking from one end of my bedroom to the other. Mind you, my bedroom had hardwood floors, so you could hear everything. And it sounded like a man's, like a heavy boot or a cowboy boot of some sort. And it walked diagonal across my bedroom. We didn't know what it was. We thought somebody had somehow gotten into the house, which there's no way that could have happened because we were in the living room and the front door was right there. So we ran next door to the neighbor, and he went upstairs and he looked around, and there was nothing there. So we just played outside until my parents came home. And then my sister, one time we were sleeping, and she woke me up in the middle of the night, and she was like, Jody. And I woke up, and I was like, what? She's like, there's something under your bed. And so the foot of her bed was pointing towards the whole side of my bed, so she could see underneath my bed. And I was like, what? What do we mean something's under my bed? She's like, it's Brian, our brother. I was like, what do you mean it's our brother? Because he's under the bed, but he's evil. I was like, what? She goes, jump on my bed, but don't touch the ground. So I tried to jump to her bed, but it was too far away. So I think one foot may have touched. I'm not quite sure. But I jump over there. My sister's almost in tears. And I look under my bed, and there's nothing there. So we run downstairs to my parents' basement, woke them up. My mom didn't know what to say, and my dad was mad because we woke them up, and he thought it was ridiculous. My mom eventually calmed us down, and we went back to sleep. But nothing came of it. The last major thing that happened in that house to me, I was in the sixth grade, and my girlfriend had come over after school, and we were just hanging out upstairs in my bedroom, and I had this large mirror that we had placed on the floor in the corner near the stairs, which was on one whole side of the bedroom. And my sister was gone, so we were just being girls, playing with hair and makeup, with the music playing. And she was to my right, and I'm sitting there, and I'm playing with my hair, and I put my hair into some weird little twist. I had this brown headband. It was plastic. And I remember telling myself, put it right in front of you so that you can put it on right away and you know where it's at. So I finished doing what I wanted my hair to do. I reached for the headband and it wasn't there. And I looked to my left on the ground and I'm patting my hand. And I looked to the right and I still couldn't see it. And I looked at my girlfriend and I asked her, hey, did you grab my headband? And she looked at me and she said, no, I don't know where it's at. She looked to her side. And right when she did that, something caught my eye on the complete opposite side of the room. I turned my head to the right and my headband came flying at my head like a frisbee. I ducked. It hit my mirror and shattered into a million pieces. We both ran down those stairs so fast, I don't even remember touching the stairs. And my parents were home downstairs with a friend and they were having a cocktail. And we run into the kitchen and we're hysterical and we're crying. And the adults looked at us like we were crazy and they started laughing. And my girlfriend cried and begged my mom to take her home. And she never came over ever again after that. She refused to ever come over to my house. And shortly after that, we didn't even talk anymore. So I'm not sure if that was part of the issue or we just grew apart, but she would never come over to my house after that. So that was pretty much the worst of it. Weird things would happen, like things would disappear and reappear all the time. Like I had a pair of jeans one time. They were pretty brand new, and I had set them on my bedroom stairs, and I was going to pick them up and bring them upstairs when I was going to go to bed. I went to do it, and they were gone. So I thought maybe my sister picked them up, thinking they were hers for some reason. And I asked her about it, and she said, I don't know what you're talking about. So I thought she was being a sister, like, I'm going to borrow your pants. So I looked through her dresser. There was nothing there. So I didn't know what to think about that. Fast forward about 9 months later. So the upstairs had like cubby holes where it was this insulation, but there were boards down where you could store boxes and things. And so my parents would do that. My mom wanted me to get something out for one of the storage areas. So I opened up the door and there were my jeans. They were just sitting there folded up, like perfectly pristine, like I had just put them there. I know I didn't do that. I asked my sister, I even asked my brother, I don't know why he would do that. Like we had no idea how my jeans got into the attic, little crawl space area. So anyway, that's my story about my childhood home. Still don't know what to think about it. It always perplexed me. I've always been curious as to what in the world that was. It was just super creepy. Our house was built in the 40s, if I remember right, so it wasn't a super old house. But anyway, I will call back with further stories. Thank you, guys. I love your program, and I will be calling back in another time. Thanks. Bye.
That story, incidentally, the inspiration for Genuine's hit song, In Those Jeans. In the attic. So there you go.
That isn't what I was thinking.
No, not at all.
I didn't even think about that at all. No, I was really wrapped up in that whole thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
But it was like, she's like, so I don't know what was going on. Well, I think she definitely was living in a haunted house. Yeah. I kind of think that's what was going on. But like, those stories are really, really creepy. Mm-hmm. Like, because you could just picture it. Like, you're young, your girlfriend comes over, you're messing with your hair in front of the mirror. It's whatever you... girl does. Mm-hmm. Then it's like, okay, and you got all your things set out. You got your rubber bands and your you got everything you need, your bobby pins, everything. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, where is that? And it comes shooting across the room at you like a frisbee. What?
Yeah,
that was creepy. That was really creepy.
Question is, like, why is it doing that? Like, what's is there an intent to this? Or,
you know, I think a lot of times there really isn't any intent necessarily, other than
look at me,
or like, you're in my house, bitches, and or something like
now,
that.
Now, language.
Oh, wait, they're teens. I'm a ghost.
Language.
I should care.
Yes.
Yeah, ghosts wouldn't think like that.
You don't speak of curse words on this program.
But, you know, it's like, I don't know. There's so many stories that we've heard that there's really, some of them seem to, there might be some connection.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's a young spirit and they're wanting your attention because they want to do hair with you. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But so sometimes you can see obvious things.
Or maybe, you ever think of this? The ghost wants to be in them jeans. I think that's what's going down, yo.
I think you're onto something.
And it's not,
like,
and it's not in a sexual
way.
And it's not in a sexual way. The ghost just wants to take over her body and possess her and be in those jeans. It's not at all what the song is meant for. It's just the ghost is into possessing people who wear certain types of jeans.
And if you're a ghost and it's like, all I get to wear is this ghost robe all day.
Exactly.
If you every
get,
day.
You get the option and you're a ghost, you're going to be like, damn right. I'm getting in them jeans.
And then once you do, you kind of dance and move and stuff. And then that's what you hear walking across the...
Suddenly, your upper torso is not possessed, but everything below is. And you're like, why am I dancing like this? And you're just like, what
I
the
can't
hell?
Stop.
It's, the struggle is real, and probably, it's probably happened to a few folks, a time or two.
Somebody just heard that right now. I was like, shit, that happened to me.
That happened to me. That happened to me. All right, that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Probably the first time a ghost has ever been referenced into that Genuine song. I think that's, you're only going to get that here on this show. Anyway, check it out, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Keep us on the air. Until next time, for Carol and Tony, thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.